This is history.
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 Made up as we go along.
Welcome, everyone, to History Improved, where a history expert surprises us improvisers with a historical event that we then act out on the spot. I'm Steve Fate, along with Trent Edwards. And Trent, we made it to our second episode.
Yes, it's shocking. I love it. I'm super pumped for today. I'm really excited for the episode. I would like to acknowledge, though, that most podcasts don't even make it past the first episode. So kudos to us.
Kudos to us. Yes, I will take that glory.
How do you feel about this? We're back for episode two.
I'm indifferent. No.
You feel like an old vet? Grizzled?
I do feel old. I'm grizzled. I have a little bitterness, too, but not about the podcast. That's just in general. So, past the bitterness and grizzly, you want to talk a little bit about who we brought back for our guest improviser?
We went way back into the archives to find our improv guest, the inimitable Scott Borden. I thought we'd be holding on to this episode until we'd aired some more episodes, but we couldn't wait. So we get to enjoy Scott's great character choices and wit back to back, baby.
Yeah. Why wait? Why wait? Hit him with the gold.
That's right. How does now suit you? That's the Tony Robbins thing, isn't it? With life and getting on with it.
And really shiny big teeth.
Steve, I need really shiny big teeth.
So you can be more like Tony Robbins. You have the height.
I have the height. I mean, what else? I need height, shiny teeth, and I don't know. I guess talk to some people for a while.
And as far as the history expert that gave us our event for this episode, we brought on Jamie O'Keefe, who is curator for the San Francisco Fire Department Museum and also happens to be a fifth generation San Francisco native. So if you haven't seen the title of the episode, you should probably know kind of where this is going.
All right. So without further ado, please enjoy. This episode is El Fuego!
Totally awesome!
All right, I've got a comeback, a lot of fun, and he was gracious enough to say, yeah, I'm going to do this all over again. Scott Borden.
Yeah, yeah, okay, thank you, Trent. Thank you, Steve, for inviting me back. I'm glad I'm back. I had a great time last time, so thank you so much for inviting me back for a second shot.
Awesome.
And you know the gig now.
He's a veteran.
He's a veteran, indeed. Are you ready to make history?
I am ready to make history.
All right. Well, that's what we're going to do. Let's check the Wayback 3000 for our latest historical event.
All right. The event is the Great San Francisco Earthquake and Fire from 1906. Major players: Fire Chief Dennis Sullivan, Mayor Eugene Schmitz, and Enrico Caruso.
I know that last name, Enrico Caruso, from visiting, I think, San Francisco.
Well, I'm gonna put a challenge to you guys, since I'm in the Bay Area.
Yes.
And probably know a bit about this. I'm going to challenge one of you guys to run with this.
Well, I know very little. I remember is not a small fire, quite a big fire.
I seem to recall it burned down a whole city, Trent.
The entire city.
Yes.
See, already you know more than I. I was going to say part of the city. So the entire city. Wow. And the earthquake caused the fire. Yes.
I believe you are exactly right. I think that was a problem for some gas lines, and I believe that was a problem for the wooden structures.
Oh, who doesn't know this event? Come on.
I'm going to just pull the Canadian card again. What do you guys know about the Halifax explosion in 1917?
The one in 1917. Oh.
Yeah. Are you feeling confident, Scott, or are you wanting me to bring my own special twist to this history?
Oh, I am as confident as I was last time, Trent.
You did well, I thought.
Steve,
Yes.
Steve, did he do well?
Everything hung on Scott's every word. It depended on Scott's performance. He was one of the top three most important people in that last one.
Okay.
No, I would love it if you lead.
I thought so. Okay. All right. I think we've got Audrey standing by on sound effects.
There she is.
Wonderful. Okay. We open on a fire station where Chief Dennis Sullivan is in a heated argument with Mayor Eugene Schmitz.
I just need a feckin' bigger budget. That's what we need. This is not a small town, and I've been here for 16 months, and you're hardly putting anything into the fire ladders and the fire department engines.
What do you want from us? Like, we don't have the money that we used to have back in, like, 1849.
What do we got here? We got this, this is a private
I'm the new guy. I'm brand new. I just started, and I don't they said bring a pail, so I brought the pail.
Yeah, you're supposed to fill the pail with sand and pour it over the smoldering embers over there. We're doing test fires. Come on, laddie.
Well, my dad was a famous fireman, but he didn't tell me about the sand.
What is this on your name there? Is it Michael Enright? Michael Enright?
Michael, you're doing a good job here. I know that budget's kind of tight. I know that we asked everyone to bring their own pail. So job well done.
Can't believe I'm working as freaking.
Well, I hope I can be effective. If you just leave me to the sand, I'll fill up my bucket with sand and I'll be ready to put out the embers.
We gotta get your fitness up too there, laddie. Get down to the beach. Run down. Fill up your pail. And hey, here's another one for you. Fill them both. Come back up when you're done. And we'll have some more work for you. We'll make a fireman out of you yet.
I do need to work on my fitness. You're right.
All right. Get to it.
All right. I'll be back.
All right, Mayor.
Are we done here, Sully? I'm kind of hungry. I'm going to head to North Beach for a slice.
A slice of what?
Slice of what?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
We don't have slices in Ireland. We've got potatoes. That's what we got. You don't slice them except for cutting them and put them in your mouth. Anyway, I just think the disaster budget for this here city seems a wee bit too tight. What are you going to do for me? This place, it's right on the ocean. What if you have a hurricane or...
We don't have hurricanes here.
Really?
No.
Right on the ocean?
No, we only have earthquakes.
Earthquakes? Ah, how bad could that be?
Nah, I mean, yeah, they hardly ever happen.
It's just a little shaking, right?
Just, you know, shaking, just a little wobbling.
All right, then. We cut to the coast where our private has just run back up with two pails of sand, and we start to feel shaking.
Hey, Chief, did you feel that? That felt different to me than the waves. I don't know if that was something normal. Maybe it's just maybe it's something for me, but I sure felt something.
Yes, this feels a wee bit odd to me. I don't know. I feel like, could this be one of your mayor's earthquakes he's talking about? This is getting pretty frickin'... Lord.
Whoa, whoa.
Hardly keep my feet.
Whoa.
Are you dancing?
No.
Or singing? This is not funny.
I'm starting to get dizzy. I'm starting to get a little dizzy. This shake is making me crazy a little bit.
Let's get back to the station.
It stopped. I think we're okay.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Phew.
Back to the station. I got my two pails full of sand, and I'm ready for the fires.
To the fire department.
We cut to the fire department, where Mayor Eugene Schmitz is already there waiting.
Holy Lord!
Sully, what are we going to do?
Well, we're just going to have to deploy everyone, everywhere. The people are coming from left and right, all over the place. They're all complaining. Everything's on fire. Where to go to first? I heard Chinatown's pretty bad. Do you want to go there first?
I mean, everything was made of wood there, and wood and
are there any good stone cabins and cottages?
We got the mansions up on Knob Hill. You know, they're okay.
Oh, the rich feckers. Okay, they're fine. Okay, we'll leave that. Let's go to this Chinatown, and we'll start from there. Hey, laddie, get all the lads. Let's go. We're going to go take on this fire head on.
Okay, I'll get all the lads, and we'll take on this fire head on in Chinatown. We're going to start in Chinatown. Okay.
We cut to Chinatown.
Ooh! Oh, my lord. It's worse than I could have imagined. We've got rubble everywhere. Laddie's fan out.
Sully, I got the boys from the west side, and we don't know what to do. We're kind of lost. There's so much fire, and it's constant shaking, and the buildings are continuing to come down.
Mayor, the mayor's here. He's been following me everywhere.
Mayor, what should we do? I'm a little...
Don't ask the mayor. I'm the fire chief.
But you don't know what to do.
I've got an idea. I know what the mayor's going to say. He's going to say leave these Chinamen behind and get up there and save the rich feckers.
I'm sorry. Sorry, Sully. I used to eat dim sum here.
You mean you're actually going to do the right thing here? Wow. I got a new respect for you, Mayor. I did not see that one coming.
It was really good dim sum. I'm not joking.
This is really about the dim sum. Okay, hey, we'll stay here.
Mayor! Chief Sullivan!
Yes?
The fireworks factory! It's about to blow!
Oh, my lord, I never even thought of the fireworks factory. Oh, hey, evacuate the whole area.
Everybody's running every which way. I can't stop everybody. If that fireworks factory catches fire, the whole place is going to go up.
Fireworks factory. Mayor, I don't have a clue. I'm from a place where the biggest fires are when the peat bogs go up. And really, it's more of a smoldering. I must admit, I haven't got the experience that I put on my resume. I'm laughing, but it's a nervous laugh. I'm not laughing at the situation.
I have an idea.
Yes?
Fireworks thing.
Mm-hmm.
You see how the fireworks are kind of separating? You know, just kind of pushing things apart?
Exploding all over?
Yeah. What if we used some, I don't know, dynamite to separate the buildings?
Fight fire with fire.
Exactly. Yes, yeah.
That's catchy. I didn't remember this one.
Yeah.
Okay, fight fire with fire. That's a great idea. Do we have many boxes of dynamite near Chinatown?
We have that armory, the guard armory, you know, down in Grant.
We cut to the armory, where the fire chief, shadowed by the mayor and his new recruit, meet the guard.
Laddie, you gotta let us in. We gotta get some of these dynamite boxes. We're gonna pick them up to the fireworks factory, and we're gonna blow the place up.
You guys aren't getting in here. I've been told to guard this place no matter what happens, and I'm not letting anybody in.
Are you fucking kidding me? You see the fire? It's everywhere.
I see the fire. I can feel the fire, but I'm not letting anybody past.
Is this because of your paycheck? I keep telling people we don't have the budget. If we can only pay the guard $2 a week, that's just the way it's got to be.
Mayor, you're a rich fecker. Just give him the 10 spot right now.
Yeah, I don't have any change, but I'd gladly take a 10 spot from you, Mayor.
This is the first time you've been bribed, isn't it? You don't give change when you're bribed.
It's the second time I've been bribed, and I do give change when I have it. I do not have change.
My lord, the whole place is going down around us, and we're talking about change.
I gave the rest of my change to a young lady to go grab us a slice and something to drink, because the fire is getting very close and very hot.
What's with these people in San Francisco? They're obsessed with pizza.
Have you been to North Beach? Of course you haven't. You haven't had the pizza in North Beach. You just keep eating potatoes.
Potatoes? Oh, my Lord. They're just so delicious. I can't get off of them.
Ugh.
I can't. They're like the sultry mistress of my soul.
Look, Sergeant, we need to get to that dynamite to stop the spread of the fire. Okay. I got 93 cents.
I got three nickels. This isn't a time for math. Just take the money.
How about this? How about you make me a major, and I'll be in charge of the armory, and you guys can get in and get those boxes of dynamite.
You're fine with that, right, Mayor? Make him a major.
Let's do it.
All right.
All right, follow me to the back room, and we'll get those boxes of dynamite.
We cut to the back room, where they're loading crates of dynamite.
You're doing great there, recruit. I'd help you out, but, you know, I've got the bulging disc and all. It's a real problem. I'd really love to help you.
Okay,
just need a few more crates there, lad.
Chief, I heard every... I'm sorry, I'm just a lowly enlistee here, but do you think this is a good idea?
Yeah, what's wrong with the idea? The whole town is going down, and we got the fireworks place is going to blow up. Probably blow up the whole town, wouldn't it?
So we're going to add more explosives to the explosives?
We'll be smart about it. We'll put them all on one side, and then it'll explode everything to the other side, away from the main part of the city. That's just science.
Okay. What about the gas?
Gas?
The gas?
I'm sorry, but I have to say it. This job is the worst. Everything's going wrong. And you keep asking me questions about stuff that an Irishman's got no idea of. Why didn't you just use peat for heating? Now we've got gas lines everywhere? And a fireworks factory? Are you just trying to explode your whole city? It's hopeless. But at least I get to see this young man making a sweaty lather of himself with bulging muscles everywhere, like a good, fine specimen of American. That's why I came to this country.
Well, that's it. I mean, that's all of it.
All right. Up to the fireworks factory. Post haste.
We cut to the entrance to the fireworks factory.
All right, laddie. Unload all the crates. And maybe make sure you point them all to the same direction. Into the fireworks factory. I'm sure this will work.
Put the dynamite right next to the fireworks. Got it. Dynamite and fireworks right next to each other. Near the fire. Got it.
Not too near the fire, but just close enough. And make sure you make a fine motion of it. Really work those glutes. You know, you gotta make sure that you're doing a fine job. This is important times. And it might be our last day on Earth, so let's live a little, too.
Right. And should I tie the fuses together?
Sure, yeah. Tie the fuses, all the fuses together. Make a nice long string of them. And make sure you tie some good reef knots, like those shiny sailors do with their bulging biceps and their tidy, tight caps and nice flaring pants.
Well, wait. If I point it in that direction... It's pointed right at the theater where, you know, the famous tenor is performing.
Oh, I was really excited about that. I got my dates wrong. I really wanted to see the tenor. I love the opera.
Whoa, another
last chance.
Tremor, another tremor, Chief. Whoa. Okay, we don't have much time. I'm gonna direct everything just over there. Maybe it'll fly over the theater and won't wreck the theater. I'm hoping.
That's very thoughtful of you. You're a sensitive man deep down, aren't you? I think you'll find yourself coming back to a hero's welcome. Mayor, what say we give him a promotion on the spot if he comes back alive? I mean, when he comes back alive.
If. Absolutely, if.
Mayor, It's not so good for the Boy, if he thinks.
When he gets the promotion, if he lives. Yes, absolutely.
We cut to an incredible explosion. A young man running out, the recruit, with his pants torn and on fire.
You did it! I think it worked, Chief. Part of the fire went out. As soon as the explosion went off, my pants came on fire. But I think it worked. I think.
Stop, drop, and roll, son. Stop, drop, and roll. I'll get on top of you and make it really go out.
Okay. All right.
Whoa. Keep rolling.
Okay.
Keep rolling. Rolling.
Okay.
Rolling. All right.
What did you do? What did you do?
Oh, hey, it's that Italian man. Enrico.
You blew up the theater. I was right in the middle of an aria.
Oh. 1,000 apologies. We were doing our best here, but, it's the first time with a city-wide fire earthquake situation.
Why would you do it? Why would you blow it up? It makes no sense.
Yeah, Mr. Crusoe. I told the chief that we wanted to shoot it over the theater, but the explosion and my pants burned off boy, it's so great to see you, sir. I really love your work. He's the greatest tenor in the world.
Are you a tenor? Probably not.
I'm a soprano.
Soprano, eh?
Yeah. My uncle's name is Tony.
Oh, well, that's a wonderful name. Hey, Herr Schmitz, what do you say we celebrate that with this fine meeting of the world's greatest tenor and Tony Soprano Jr.?
Want to get a slice?
Could you get some potatoes on the slice?
Oh.
The end.
Yeah, I guess that could have happened.
I'm pretty sure it's 99% accurate.
I mean, it must be the, famous fire chief and a...
Yep, Irish fire chief.
Committed to fitness.
Right. Exactly.
And a mayor obsessed with dim sum.
It totally makes sense.
All right, well, thanks so much. That was a lot of fun. And
thank you, Scott.
Yeah,
brought a lot to the
party. Thank you both for having me. It was a blast being here.
Je pense c'est bon.
Oui, monsieur.
And we'll be right back with our history expert, Jamie O'Keefe, right after this break.
All right, so we are very happy to have Jamie O'Keefe, our history expert, join us now. Welcome, Jamie.
Hello, thank you. Glad to be here.
Jamie, I know Steve's a San Franciscan, so he knows a lot about the great San Francisco fire of 1906. But,
uh-oh.
Yeah. But I, as you may have noticed from our improv set, do not. So before we really get into the nitty-gritty of this interview, I just was really hoping to know, what did we get right in our improv set with Scott? If anything.
I think an overview feeling of how the quake went was accurate, but a lot of the details, not so much.
Well, let's get into what actually happened then. So first of all, how big was the earthquake that caused the Great Fire?
So I have to check because I get it kind of sometimes mixed up with the 1989 earthquake, because at this time and scientists weren't measuring things with the Richter scale that we know today. So they use their best estimates to estimate what kind of magnitude it would have been. And so it was really high. It was over 8 as far as I know.
Oh, wow.
Or about 8, 7.98. That's compared to the 89 earthquake that was about 6.97. So this was huge. This was one of the greatest natural disasters the United States had experienced up until this point. And more than 3,000 people died and over 80% of the city was destroyed. So it was a huge, really significant event in our city's history for sure.
So they didn't have the Richter scale. Did they just have how they have the rodeo now and you are timing how long the person can stay on the bowl?
Oh.
Was it that kind of thing, but with an earthquake?
But probably based on the damage caused. The earthquakes cause physical changes to the ground, too, with the fault lines. So if you're versed in that kind of science, I'm sure you can compare and contrast to other fault lines and figure out from there.
So that's what modern seismologists or whatever would have done. They'd go check out the physical marks that were left behind, kind of thing, like the, oh, there's like a 3-foot lift in this area, that kind of thing. Is that what happened?
As far as I understand from what I've learned at the California Academy of Sciences and their awesome earthquake exhibit, but I know that there were reports of like tsunamis happening after the 1906 earthquake, things like that. They would comb through records that were kept. There's a lot of data, a lot of reports from different, even scientific journals at the time.
Okay.
And kind of gather that data to make an estimate about what that one was.
So with the fire, why couldn't the fires be contained? Like we saw, unfortunately, even today with Maui and Lahaina, we still have trouble with all sorts of things going wrong when their major fire happens. What specifically happened with this great fire, though?
Water mains were broken. So the shaking of the quake broke the water mains. So they couldn't get the water that they needed to use to put out the fires. And then, there are gas leaks as well. And so that all that, and then San Francisco had a lot of material to burn. Homes were made of wood, kind of, a recipe for a disaster.
What was the political fallout from all of this? Like, is this something that the general population was like, hey, how come you guys weren't better prepared? Or was this, oh, we do have wood homes and it was a bad one?
Well, I think that's interesting. I never thought about it that way. But I know the city did band together. Average citizens helped each other out. It was a coming together of people during a crisis because of the corruption in City Hall at the time. I know people, once they found out what City Hall was up to, they look back at the response maybe a little more critically. But at the time that the response was going on, people were helping each other out. The goal was to help people survive and to pull through. And, San Francisco would rise again like the Phoenix. That's always our traditional symbol. So, but, people nowadays, you can look back, hindsight is 50-50 or 20-20. Yeah. 20-20.
Sometimes it's 50-50.
And it's but at the time, from the accounts that I've read and I've heard about, people were just more focused on getting, people saved, getting food, getting shelter, water, just getting things back to order as much as possible, as quickly as possible.
Getting San Francisco Strong t-shirts made.
Right. Getting us back on our feet again. I know that's happened over and over in our history.
Yeah. How long did it take San Francisco to rebuild?
The Panama Pacific International Exposition was held in San Francisco in 1915. So that was a civic-minded goal to have San Francisco up and running and being able to host the world in 1915. So that's like, 9 years or so. I know not everything was completed by that time, but it was completed enough for the city to host this giant international exposition. So They were showing off new fire equipment that they had purchased at that time, and they had all kinds of buildings to show off. So it was kind of like, hey, we're back in business. Come bring your business back to us. Come visit us again.
What was the long-term impact of this tragedy on San Francisco? I'm guessing there was a big jump in building codes.
Right. So, San Francisco, yeah. I mean, it goes back into the corruption of City Hall too. City corrupt political bosses. If you look at how the City Hall had been built, City Hall, the building itself, was new at the time of the earthquake, and it basically collapsed. The building materials were shoddy, and they were not what had been paid for. And, building codes, things like that. I know that for first responders, they take every incident as a learning opportunity to improve the next response. So I would imagine that the fire department and the city in general took the lessons from 06 and tried to implement them as best as possible for the future. We're always going to have earthquakes.
And speaking of that, up to 1906, so by then, San Francisco, for all intents and purposes, was about 60 years old or so. Had there been other major quakes or significant quakes before that might have been able to inform them leading up to 1906?
Oh, for sure. I know. I think there was one, a significant one in 1856. I don't know off the top of my head what they thought that would have registered, but, you know, the science has evolved with the development of the city as well, too. So I've seen photos from that one, the one from the 1856. I don't know how organized the city founders were at the time to really take into account those lessons or to pass them down. They don't always remember or learn from history, unfortunately, too. That's just a general thing.
Huh, interesting thought. I can't think of any examples where that's the case.
For the major players that you mentioned, the mayor and the fire chief, how did they do on the day? You said there was corruption. Did that play into the mayor's response? Or because I know we had a really good mayor that was very egalitarian and very focused on pizza for some reason, too. But
he was very good looking. And as far as history goes, he was a popular mayor at first. He was put into place by the political machine. So he was controlled by a lot of different factions, including a city political boss named Abe Ruth. But as far as his response, I know he assembled city businessmen, leaders of society to organize a response. So they did have subcommittees that were focused on getting food together, getting water going. There was a subcommittee focused on relief for the Chinese population. I know you mentioned Chinese folks and what you talked about, but there is also a subcommittee to relocate the Chinese population from Chinatown. So there's kind of different factions. There's very noble, altruistic factions in the subcommittees. And then there's also people trying to take advantage of the situation for what, you know, they wanted to see happen. So as far as Schmitz goes, I think he was found guilty later on of extortion and bribery, but I don't really know how that affected his response to the quake. I think he tried to do the best he could with what he had. Later on in 1907, he went to jail. And then 1908, he was acquitted. Then he ran for office again and didn't win. So he kind of stuck around politics afterwards. But as far as his response, I think he tried the best he could with what he had.
And was the dynamite his idea or no?
That gets kind of complicated. That wouldn't have been his expertise. So he would have contacted the army. The army was in the Presidio at the time. They were stationed there. And this kind of goes back to the fire chief. Do you want to talk about the fire chief?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely. The Irish immigrant. Yes.
No, he wasn't an immigrant.
What?
He was an Irish American like me. You guys might want to cool it with the potato talk here. But yeah, he was born on the East Coast. He was born in, I think, New Jersey. So he is an Irish American. He is a very well-respected, well-loved fire chief of the San Francisco Fire Department. And during the quake, when it hit in the morning, it hit about 5:12 a.m., a chimney fell in through the building that he was asleep in. And he got up to check on his wife, and he fell through a hole in the floor to the bottom levels of the building. So he was severely,
wow,
severely injured. And he spent the next 3 days dying in the hospital.
Oh, no.
So the fire department was actually without their leader during the worst crisis they had ever known up to that point. And so, that was not accurate because he was dying in the hospital, unfortunately.
Well, that was kind of close. No? No? Okay.
So the next in line contacted the army and the Presidio. So they worked together to get the dynamite situation going. And so I was kind of wondering, because people who don't know a ton about the earthquake always know about the dynamite part. And how do they know about that? Is that just something that you hear?
I read a book on it, on the quake and the fires, and that just stuck out to me.
So it's to make fire breaks.
Right.
So they were blowing up buildings like that were brick and stuff, so the fire wouldn't have any more fuel to consume, and it wouldn't jump past certain places. But I guess they got out of control. But I feel like, you know, they did the best they could with what they had.
Yeah. It when I read about it, it wasn't just some random, hey, let's just try this weird thing. Idea, like you say, there was that thinking that was the intention,
yep.
But considering you know, there's gas there, like, and there's fire everywhere. I mean, it probably needed a little bit more nuance than that as a solution.
Hey, hindsight's 50-50, Steve.
Yeah.
No, that's true. Yeah.
So if they, you know, if they had time to plan, I'm sure it would have been going a lot better. But yeah. So the fire breaks were the intention, but that didn't always happen, unfortunately.
You know what? One of the people that we haven't talked about yet is Enrico Caruso.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For some reason, he is mentioned quite a bit when people talk about the earthquake, because he was in town. Who is performing in Carmen. So if people don't know, Enrico Caruso was a well-loved Italian tenor. He was an opera singer, and he had performed in Carmen, and he was staying at the Palace Hotel, which still exists today. And he was awakened. He was shaken out of his bed by the earthquake at about 5:12 in the morning. And he was super upset, and he said, "Get me out of here." And he left. He went to New York and never came back. And there are all these accounts of him, like, oh, he was crying, he was doing a bit, just basically making fun of him. But I read an article that he wrote about his own experience, and he debunked all those things because he didn't want people to, you know, think that he was a wimp or anything. But he was here in San Francisco. He was a presence, you know, having a celebrity here at the time who experienced it was pretty interesting. But he didn't have anything to do with the response or anything like that.
How did he debunk it? He just sang about how he's not a crybaby? Or...
he wrote a piece and performed it, and everyone just fell in love with him again. No, the article is pretty funny. He's just, he's if you ever wanted to look that up, he's pretty articulate and funny.
Oh, excellent. So it's a tragic event, but San Francisco is now one of the prettiest cities in the world, I'd say. You guys are both there, so I assume you probably agree. Did the fire play much of a role in this by giving city planners a clean slate, kind of like Rotterdam after the Second World War and most of Germany?
There was an effort to relocate the Chinese population out somewhere else that wasn't as desirable because they wanted that real estate. That land was very valuable where Chinatown's located. But the Chinese folks did not go for that. And Chinatown is where it is today because they were resilient and weren't moved after all. So as far as the clean slate part, the buildings that were rebuilt, there's a lot less brick. You don't see a lot of brick buildings downtown in San Francisco. I mean, you do here and there, but not like other cities.
They went straight back to wood.
Yeah.
They're like, it won't happen again. We're fine.
Well, there's like limestone and sandstone. You know, people did have the chance to rebuild in certain ways that they wanted to because things were demolished, basically.
I watched a documentary back in the 80s, I think it was, on San Francisco Family. I think it was called Full House. They had a wooden house, pretty sure.
They did, yeah. They had a Victorian. That's a classic San Francisco home. Mm-hmm. We still do have a lot of Victorians nowadays, too.
Hmm.
And our buildings are all right up next to each other, like in Full House.
Yeah, so that can't be great for fires.
We have a awesome fire department. Bang up fire department. So yeah, no, they do an awesome job.
Oh, excellent.
And they have those things in mind, you know, when they plan responses.
So I still remember that 1989 World Series game,
yeah,
in San Francisco, and then it got interrupted by that big quake. Now, that was a tragedy too, but the damage was a lot less than 1906.
Correct.
So I'm just wondering, like, how big of a quake are structures in San Francisco designed to withstand?
The places that are within, I think it's called the Ring of Fire, you know, in the world, that they support each other. So we might learn from Japan or other places that have seismic activity. I know that they're building a lot of places downtown that are huge, super tall with lots of glass panes. I don't know how those would fare in an earthquake. But I mean, they know more about that kind of thing than I do. But I wouldn't want to be downtown during a quake, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a lot of them are built to sway.
Oh yeah.
Like when I moved out here, people talked about the Transamerica because that was the tallest building at the time. Mm-hmm. And so they talked about how there's a natural sway built in. So if they're in the case of an earthquake, it would be able to move, you know, without buckling.
But it's not gonna snap or anything. And
right.
our city hall was retrofitted to move in a wave-like motion, from what I understand. if the earthquake hit. And then I know the De Young Museum in Golden Gate Park too. So they are implementing that kind of technology as funds allow and, you know, as they can.
Sorry, I just hung up for a moment there on, I heard Arsenio Hall doing a wave-like motion, but you said Presidio Hall, didn't you? That's just word association. Our City Hall. Yes, sorry. Is the next massive earthquake, the quote-unquote big one, is that sort of like Bruno from Encanto in San Francisco now? It's like you don't talk about it?
As a San Francisco native, and myself and my friends and family talk about it all the time. But the transplants go, no, don't talk about it because they think it's jinxing it.
Hmm.
So if they don't want to be prepared, that's kind of up to them, you know.
Now, Jamie, you have a personal or family connection to the earthquake of 1906. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, for me? Okay. Well, my ancestors were in the quake. My great-great-grandparents were in the quake, and they met because of the quake. So we've heard stories through, you know, our whole lives about people, you know, people's experiences in the quake. And you know, I've had friends who, you know, even their grandparents were in the quake too. So it's just always been a presence in my life. And then, as you know, when I've been studying more with the San Francisco Fire Department as curator, you know, of course that material comes up in our collection all the time. And you just start researching, you start reading, and you go down the rabbit hole and you read about this one heroic person and this person who did this. And it's just a really interesting story. And it brought a lot of people. It was a tragedy, of course, and people died, of course, but it did bring the city together, and it changed the course of San Francisco, you know, to this day.
That's a great point. Like, how big of a event was it in the history of San Francisco? Like, you've got the Klondike and, you know, the 49ers, all that kind of stuff, gold, the Levi's jeans. I'm showing my incredible history knowledge for San Francisco.
Yeah, referring to the Klondike.
The Klondike,
you know, up in Canada, Yukon. But you guys, you know, they're like brothers and sisters. It's very close.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, we have the just different events punctuate history through everybody's history. But in San Francisco, you know, it was the gold rush. I don't want to say the next big thing, but the next huge thing was this earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
And we still get people donating things to the museum to this day from their ancestors in the 1906 earthquake. We had people send in photo albums, and they're sending them from like Ohio because their ancestor ended up moving out there, and they're going through their grandparents' stuff, and then they find this albums. So we still get stuff to this day. And I was doing research to do a display for the 30th anniversary of the 1989 earthquake. And it was really, really hard to find artifacts because people, they just kind of say, oh, that's no big deal. And they threw it away. I mean, my family saves stuff because that's the kind we save stuff. So we had a few things to show, but it was really hard. I can find 1906 earthquake stuff all day long.
Hmm. Well, it was a great choice, I think, for an event, and a real pleasure talking to you and learning from you about this event. Very cool. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you. Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate talking to you about history. I love it. Yeah. I will talk about it all day long.
That's excellent. Yeah, hopefully we'll talk about it again. Have you back sometime. That'd be great.
Well, thank you. And if you're ever in town, come by and visit the Fire Department Museum. I can give you a tour.
For sure. Oh, thank you. Yeah, we'll do.
Yeah, we have a whole case dedicated to the earthquakes, too. So we've got 89 and 06 in one case. And the stuff in 06 is amazing. I mean, the stuff in 89 is great, but it's the 06 stuff's very impressive.
Well, I can't wait to see it.
When I go into the city, I definitely got to see the museum.
Thanks so much, Jamie.
Well, thank you.
And that was History Improv'd. Trent, I got to say, so far, I'm kind of enjoying this.
I, too, am enjoying this, Steve. This is very fun. Just to get into some of the cool stuff that I learned anyway, when Jamie told us about Dennis Sullivan, I thought, I'm going to check into him. He sounds like a pretty cool character, and I'd like to give him his props. In 1903, Sullivan proposed an emergency water supply system for the San Francisco Fire Department, and they would use the water from one or more reservoirs to be constructed on the city's high peaks. Unfortunately, it didn't get concerted until 1909, 3 years after the quake, but it would have saved a lot of people. So he's actually a visionary fire chief, so props to him.
Mm.
Enrico Caruso, too. He sounded like quite the interesting character. I went back and checked out that newspaper article he wrote, and I thought he seems like kind of like the caricature you'd think of a Italian opera singer. Like he had somebody else going back into the burning building to get his bags. And I was like, wait, this is our this is our attempt at repairing our reputation. I think back then it would have been like, oh yeah, well that makes sense. We would have done that too. He was one of those lower class people, and you know, you're an opera singer, so yeah, I get it.
Maybe he was just trying to preserve his reputation as kind of like a muckety muck, appealing to the upper classes who would be the ones that would be patronizing the opera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, know your audience. So right. Props to him, I guess, after all.
The thing that I found most interesting, I think, was I had never heard how strong the earthquake was when she said they kind of figured it to be about an 8 on the Richter scale. I just assumed it was a pretty sizable quake, but nothing like huge. I just thought that they didn't build, you know, building everything of brick and not retrofitted or whatever would be the main cause, but 8 will do some damage.
Isn't that like Krakatoa kind of levels? Like just off the charts?
Yeah, it's pretty severe, yeah.
I mean, I think they only got like 9 or 8.89, it would be like, but still, it's bigger, like more than one bigger than the 1989 earthquake. I think, wasn't that like 6.6 or something?
Yeah, I think that's what she said, something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Even higher than the Pork Chop Express. That's a little inside reference to Big Trouble in Little China fans.
One of my takeaways from all the interesting points Jamie made is that San Francisco's got a survivor culture. I mean, it makes sense with all of its natural disasters, but I didn't know about the Phoenix being associated with San Fran.
Yeah, that was new. That was actually admittedly news to me.
Did you know about the Rising Phoenix actually being on the San Francisco Fire Department's shield?
No.
You can see a link in our show notes. I also enjoyed learning about how the city adapted its fire codes after the Great Fire. And about the Chinese-American history in San Francisco.
Would that happen to also be in our show notes, Trent?
Indeed. I'm thinking with the Chinese-American history, though, they need to have some kind of symbol that should also be captured with the city lore or whatever. Maybe like a golden dragon to honor their resiliency.
Well, in a sense, Chinatown itself is a symbol of their resilience.
That's true. So thanks again to our guests, Scott Borden and Jamie O'Keefe, and of course you, our dear listener.
Yes. If you want to find out more about us, you can visit our website, historyimprov.com, spelled historyimproved.com. And if you like this episode, subscribe to the show on whatever platform you're listening to it on right now.
Not this very moment.
All those multitaskers out there, you can hit subscribe right now as we're talking. And please share it with someone you think might enjoy the show so we can get more listeners and all that stuff.
I love all that stuff. Listeners.
Also rate us highly and leave a review if you have that capability.
And they even are capable to maybe check out our YouTube.
Yes, we got a YouTube channel as well, also called History Improved. And if you know where to get good dim sum in your town, write us at hello@historyimproved.com. Again, spelled historyimproved.com.
I prefer a potato.
So thanks for listening. We're your hosts, Trent Edwards and Steve Fate. And don't forget, support your local library.
They got history books and stuff. All right. Want to give it a shot?
Yeah, let's give her a shot.
Yes, we got a YouTube channel as well, also called History Improved.
I'm really excited to share that we got to do redo.
You could go, so tune in next time, not tune in.
This episode is another gangbanger in my mind.
Wow. Okay.
Is there a different word that's very close to that? That's what I'm trying to say.
Barn burner.
Barn burner. There you go. That's the one I was trying. This is a real barn burner.